rear window, that trombone shot, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve Newell.
G'day. I think we've got all, do we get all of our spoilers out of our system?
Hope so. Well, we're talking about old movies that have already happened. Yeah, we're here to talk about the new, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. That's good. So this week I've watched a couple of documentaries that between the two of them kind of sum up what a fucking shit show the United States is in 2020. Mm. The first is Totally Under Control. You may have heard an interview this morning on BFM Breakfast with Rachel talking to directors Alex Gibney, who you'd know from directing films like Going Clear, The Scientology Exposé, Enron, Citizen K. He's basically like an expert in the kind of straightforward narrative exposé.
It seems like a pretty short time frame to turn around a documentary with a situation which is still unfolding.
Yes, absolutely. Well, he was part of a team. There's two other directors credited, Ophelia Harrit-Union and Suzanne Hillinger. And they had a crew, everyone kind of working remotely, shipping cameras out to their interview subjects and really like kind of making this documentary about COVID-19 from inside the eye of the hurricane while it unfolded.
Wuhan.
In the United States, United States hurricane.
Right. Yeah.
So this really, it does set the tone of what happened globally, but very much the focus of this documentary is on the incredibly negligent mishandling of this by the US government. And, you know, look, if you read the newspapers or whatnot, if you read the actual news, you probably know a bunch of the stuff that's in this film, but it's a great 2-hour concise chronology of how they've gotten to the point they have. Maybe about a third of the way through when the focus really turns to not just the federal government kind of not quite grasping what's going on, but actively making things worse, becomes quite an indictment of
how much of it is
certain individuals.
Full of Donald Trump sort of being
a little bit of Trump.
Okay.
It's fair to say. I mean, it's no coincidence that this documentary became available on iTunes yesterday, and it's also streaming on DocPlay from Monday.
I think not.
No, look, they frankly admitted when talking to Steve Newell for flicks.co.nz that the timing was part of the intentions. They set out to make this thing and get it out so people would be able to factor this into their voting for the US presidential election. It's pretty sobering viewing, to be honest. The thing that really ties it together is having sent all these cameras out to interview subjects. These are people who were very much on the front lines of COVID, so either working in emergency departments or working at a kind of government policy level. There's a very sad and frustrated manufacturer of masks who can't get anyone in the federal government to accelerate his production of PPE, even at a time when emergency rooms are having to reuse masks day after day, and the actual people that were treating patients were coming down with the bloody virus as well. But I think one of the really kind of shocking interviews in this is when Jared Kushner took over trying to sort out all this PPE distribution throughout the United States, he called for some volunteers to help out. And so lots of keen young political people kind of filed into this room and they thought they were going to be helping. And then they found out that they actually were the task force that was going to sort it out, but none of them had any experience, and it was just kind of like on them to try and make sure everyone had masks that needed masks. So look, BFM runs on volunteers, but I don't think I'd necessarily say come up to the station on a Sunday afternoon and let's try and make hundreds of thousands of people safe with no experience.
Yeah.
Is the moral of the story that everyone's now better prepared if this happens again? Or,
you know what, that actually kind of does feel like that, because in some ways, like, it does feel, and you know, if this virus was 10 times as bad or 100 times as bad, which is not inconceivable, we'd be significantly more impacted. However, as it recounts, like, there's a reflection on the Spanish flu and lessons that just, you know, have completely not been permanently learnt from that from 100 years ago. So
100 years is almost a reset.
Maybe. Anyway, the other side of the coin, well, it's not the other side of the coin. When you think about Totally Under Control and Trump, like, I noticed that posting the trailer on the Flicks Facebook page, there's a bit of like pushback in the comments. You can kind of see that, you know, not just a discussion of different viewpoints, but actually people that are just kind of will repeat pro-Trump talking points within New Zealand, which always makes me kind of surprised. It's strange that this support of a foreign leader is kind of like so strongly championed in this country.
Heaps of American issues, for some reason, penetrate down here and get parroted fucking way too loud. I mean, often it's just mostly an American issue, you know.
That's fair.
I mean, and it's probably obviously because of the news is just wiped out by whatever's going on in America, if it's heavy enough, you know what I mean?
But one thing we're definitely also see is that the, you know, obviously the rise of alt-right and sort of and meme culture in the US in the past sort of 5 to 10 years has made its presence felt in New Zealand as well. Probably, I mean, more so than necessarily pro-Trumpism. And that's a topic that's explored in the documentary Feels Good Man, which is the story of Pepe the Frog, who you will have seen
the weird little green
a million
frog
times.
Guy.
The weird green frog
with big eyes.
With the big eyes, yeah. Who started life as a comic book character. And its creator, Pepe's creator, kind of saw him get picked up in the internet sphere and used on message boards and become a real fixture on 4chan. And, you know, as things on 4chan tended to do, got kind of mashed up in a stew of anti-Semitism and just kind of like shock internet stuff. And while it may have started or maybe been professed to be a joke, soon that character became associated with all the stuff you don't really want your little guy that you've drawn to be affiliated with on the internet. And he was pretty relaxed about it, but then kind of reached a tipping point when, as you see in this documentary, that suddenly people on the kind of shadowy end of the right wing started sort of monetizing the character and really trying to, like, not just appropriate it for content, but make bucks off it. So this details how he sets out to try and get Pepe back. It's a gripping watch. And yeah, if you kind of consider those as two films to check out, I think you'll maybe not double feature them. They're kind of both a bit of a bum out in a way. But definitely, definitely good examinations of stuff that you may have some familiarity with, but it's nice to see them examined with some rigor and detail.
Anything else, Steve Newell? Any cinema or TV?
Cinema?
Not a heck of a lot this week. That's kind of been where my head's at, but
I've seen the Jared Butler trailer.
For Greenland?
Yeah, it's like classic. It's classic deep impact zones.
I've been sitting on some tickets for that. Maybe I go to that tomorrow.
You could don't need to. You can be in whatever shape. You can be in any shape you want for that and just go watch it.
Is that a thumbs down to the concept or thumbs down to the having seen the film?
Double thumbs down. Shit, that's two hands.
Well, I'm curious.
You're a tough critic, though.
I am a harsh critic. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I love the films people hate. I hate the films people love, and sometimes I love the films everyone loves, but it's...
But you hate the people.
It's hard to tell. I hate people. Yeah. It's funny.
It has sold a lot of tickets, but I don't think... Look, I'm hoping that everyone that's sort of listening to this and has a bit of a interest in this film isn't coming from the point of view that it's going to be this year's masterpiece. Like,
it's going to be the greatest movie out this year.
We're only interested because it's probably going to be... A bit of a laugh.
It's apocalyptic.
There's too much wholesome goodness in it. Like, the people are too... Like, the characters are unbelievable. Like, say I met you, we talk for 2 minutes, suddenly we're best friends, and you give me insight...
Strife,
and
though.
How to
strife.
Get,
like, you don't understand the strife.
It's like the worst Stephen King novel. Like, I actually thought it was probably written by a Christian.
The one who forgot that he wrote.
I googled the screenwriter, and he's actually done some pretty good stuff. Kind of, apparently. I mean, not anything I've enjoyed.
Passion of the Christ, of course.
Holy shit.
No, he didn't actually write Passion of the Christ. If you are in search of a laugh, you can also hoon over to Flix for the top 20 comedies on Netflix as chosen by BFM's own Amelia.
Okay.
Who put that together for us. There's some good stuff on there, including Eddie Murphy's Coming to America, which I'm a big fan of, and was a bit disappointed to see this morning that while we don't know about this for sure in New Zealand, there is a sequel to that film coming out this year, which feels completely unasked for. But
but that's actually not a good movie.
But
I'm taking the Jules route on this one.
I got a soft spot for this movie.
Definitely not good and definitely not funny. So I've got a problem here with this.
It's gonna be
where is it on the top 20?
It's unranked. So there you go.
So that's safe, yeah.
this film has been pulled from US release because of COVID, and it's going straight to Amazon. I don't know. I quite would have liked to have gone to see that in the cinema and had a laugh, but if you guys don't like it, that's fine.
Agreed.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Steve.
real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.